from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
I hate to, like, you know, burst the balloon.
I know that because he's
so good and he's so fun and he's so easy to root for because he just appears to be pitching Terminator that you want to believe he would behave differently.
But I don't think, as far as what guys in his situation, meaning young pitchers who are really good. Now, he exceeds the really good part. He's elite. He's incredible. He's better than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these guys that are in similar boats, like Hunter Green, for example, in Cincinnati, signed a deal that took away 2 years of free agency. It was for $53 million. Spencer Strider, before he won a Cy Young in Atlanta, coming off a good year when he was in his early 20s, signed a 6-year extension. It was for $75
million. Strider, right? is a very differently wired guy.
What do you mean?
Any interview you read with him, he comes off as like the anti-athlete as far as intellectual approach. Not like he hates other athletes, but a guy who actually I could see just saying, you know what, $75 million is enough for me.
I could see Paul Skenes saying $113 million is life-changing money. I'm happy here. Don't mess with happy. Don't screw with happiness.
Do you think he and Livy Dunn want to be Pittsburghers for life?
Oh, they're out there in the boat. They're in the river. They're fishing for carp.
Carp!
Yeah.
Carp.
Yes.
Honey, the carp scene here is so great. I just want to be a Pittsburgher for life. Look, I got a boot on my hook.
I mean, he does not seem to me yet like he's jaded or cynical about the whole operation here.
Well, how could he be? He's the best pitcher in baseball, and every time somebody opens their mouth to talk about him, it's to say how great he is.
This is the perfect time to put $113 million in front of him before he does get jaded
Paul
about
Skenes
things.
Paul strikes me as a guy who thinks through every decision he makes about his body, his career, everything, to a very high level. I think a guy who is that meticulous about the way he has structured and set up his career. I'm reading a story in the breaks right now on Yahoo. The lead sentence is, the first thing Paul Skenes told the Pirates after he signed was that he wasn't good enough, at least not yet. And it's about how he developed an extra
pitch.
Exactly,
Paul.
A guy that meticulous is not looking at $113 million to go, boy, I better sign this.
Probably not, but if you appeal to him analytically and you don't try to make it...
Well, Paul, we'd like you to take this deal because we think it's the best.
You don't have to make it solely emotional. Like, look, guys that are in their early 20s, these are the types of deals they have signed. Guys that are young, Cy Young caliber, all-star caliber pitchers. We know that you're much better than that. So Strider got 75. Let's give you 113.
It would have
That's
to be
$38 million more.
I guess that would be a market-shattering deal.
Exactly,
for this type
that's
of
right.
Thing.
For but your I, age, the, would, this is a record-setting deal.
Let me ask
deal.
You this. Would Bob Nutting want to be the owner who's suddenly setting a record deal among other owners?
I think
locally Bob would probably the publicity bump that he would get for it.
I don't think any here's
no he, owner wants to be the owner that sets a market-setting contract.
Well, I disagree in this regard. If it's for Deshaun Watson in the NFL and he's coming off a lengthy suspension, he hasn't played in a while, he's persona non grata, okay? Like, he's not Patrick Mahomes, that's going to get owners upset. If the Kansas City Chiefs had given Mahomes the Deshaun Watson contract, no other owner would have bitched about it.
I disagree, but they all would have done it. I disagree because they would have said don't ever fully guarantee a contract.
Maybe other than the A's owner, the other 28 owners in baseball, if they could give Paul Skenes $113 million deal right now, they would. They all would. They wouldn't care about what.
Do you think the Pirates have approached him yet about something like this?
I don't know. I don't think they have, because I think if they had, we'd know about it by now.
Because they would have wanted us to know about it.
Well, like, yeah, but
as a team, it looks good for you if you were already floating nine figures.
Sure,
in front
but
of this
also
guy.
He's such a huge star now that the people that cover baseball on a national level would get a hold of something like that, and they would want to report
Libby
something
Dunn
like that.
Libby Dunn puts on Instagram, boyfriend just got offered nine figures by team. Isn't this cool, LOL?
She was on the plane with him. They got a nice personal plane, personal jet, to get down there to Texas.
Now, since he went to Air Force for a couple of years, would he have to decently know his way around like that plane and be able to sit in the cockpit and identify stuff?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say if push came to shove and there was an emergency, he could fly it and land it.
Get out of
yes,
here, dude.
100%.
He went to Air Force for 2 years. Is that flight school?
Amanda went up with a guy.
Pilots there, fighter pilots, but is he sitting there going, yeah, I'll be in my advanced
aeronautics
classes?
Amanda was flying
classes?
A plane after like one class. She was up there with, there was somebody with her. It's not rocket science here, Mosey.
My ex-girlfriend, when we were in Greater Philadelphia, I think they let her go up after like her third time with an instructor, and she was up in that little plane by herself. That blew my
mind.
There you
go. See?
I don't know how you do that three or four times in. So maybe but that's not a commercial airliner or a private jet.
Here is Paul Skenes asked today at this press conference about innings limits, managing workloads, making sure that he doesn't get hurt, and he's great for the Pirates for the rest of this year.
What are you doing to protect yourself, and what are the Pirates doing to keep you healthy and doing what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, our trainer is at the All-Star game, too, so he's pretty dang good. I think it's just a matter of learning the game and learning what works for you. You know, there's going to be growing pains as you grow up in this game, not just now, but, you know, since I was, you know, started pitching in you know, high school and college, too. So I think just a matter of building a good base, you know, being strong and you know, doing everything you know is right, and then just letting it fall where it may.
I feel like they've let him be himself. They don't have any of their other pitchers on the pregame program that we see Skenes go through before a game.
Again, I think he cuts the profile of so meticulous, so having thought everything out, so dedicated to this, more so than, yes, even other really good pitchers. Why would you mess with something that appears to be working this well?
Well, I don't think, okay, there, that last point is the important one. I think if somebody else showed up from another team or was not drafted 1-1 overall and wanted to do all those things, they would say that's not how we do it here, would be my guess. If Bailey Falter came over from Philly and said, by the way, I throw football around before the game, I strap a jetpack to my back, and I'm like throwing medicine balls against the bullpen wall as hard as I can before I pitch, I want to do all these things, I'd say, that's really not how we... I think they would say, that's not really how we do things here, Bailey.
More teams probably should say, okay, we'll let you take your own approach. I mean, they've messed with batting stances to great ill effect. Rowdy Tellez, I had to go back and
I don't disagree with you on that, but
Henry Davis.
My rebuttal would be they actually do, with me right now, get the benefit of the doubt with pitchers.
They get the benefit of the doubt with Skenes. I mean, the Jones stuff still
Jones,
has
absolutely.
Well, it's worked when he's been healthy, but
how about
now they
Keller?
Shut him down.
Keller, that's a transformation.
Man, Keller, I will only say I give them credit, but I almost give him more credit than anybody because, man, he was down and out so many different times early on in his career.
Well, right, but I mean, they...
Yes, they do get credit for ultimately pulling that out of him. They do.
Big time.
But I mean, to go back to what I'm reading here, this article about how he went to them with like his self-assessment and it was more detailed than theirs makes me think you're more right than not that maybe he was just unscrew-upable. To use a proprietary term we like to throw around in the industry.
I also think it's hard when you're 22 years old. Someone says to you, hey, you're going to make around $1 million the next 2 years. If you keep pitching like this, you're going to have to be patient. But at some point, you're going to get $500 million. Or you can just have $113 million guaranteed to you right now. I do think it would be hard to turn down that much
money. Well, you're not telling the whole story there, though. It's you should get $500 million someday, but if you get hurt, all bets are off. That
yes.
is the wild card.
Yeah, that's what the Pirates have going for them here.
I still think
situation.
He's going to bet on himself. I still think that's what's going to transpire here. You know what else he's got going for him? And he knows this, and he's answered questions about it. If a lot of this is eventually pitching, just the simple motion is going to eventually blow out most arms at least once, He hasn't pitched for that long. He has to know his clock is not as far along in terms of how much it's been ticking on that right arm compared to most guys his age who are this highly pedigreed.
Yeah.
Strasburg was pitching probably for years before Skeens ever was exclusively.
I honestly, like, that's true, and I've made that point before, but I honestly don't know what to think with this stuff.
That's true, and I've made that point before, but you know what? I just decided I don't like it anymore.
No, but it's just...
Switching gears.
Seriously, though. Like, some of these guys, like, they...
Nobody knows, but I think the appearance of caution... I think one thing we do know, Johan Santana ended his career as an older guy throwing a no-hitter for the Mets because they hadn't had one. He threw, what, 149 pitches? I think we know that, like, letting a guy go way past the point of him being gassed is not...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good.
Text. All right. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service. Paul Skeens starting tomorrow night's All-Star Game. Can't wait for it. We listened to his press conference. You can go back at 2 o'clock and hear that. It was live right here on the Fan. I usually don't get super stoked for All-Star games of any kind, Chris. I am for this one. There is still a novelty with Skeens.
Because our guy's at center stage, man.
Yeah, but yeah, right. I mean, it's even more true. If he were, I don't know, a Kansas City Royals pitcher who was this good, I would still want to see him.
Well, he's also
in this moment.
He's also good in the way people always want pitchers to be good. He's overpowering. He just he throws.
Oh, yes.
He throws stuff that just looks unhittable, which is my biggest argument why...
Number one on your list of most overpowering pitchers of all time?
Oh, like you, it's probably the big train, Walter Johnson, right? You would say Nolan Ryan, but you know, like, he's got the most strikeouts. He was throwing triple digits before anyone else did. Here's why I don't want to put him number one. Way too many people touched him up, man. You've pointed this out about him. For all the crazy stuff, the 7 no-hitters... It's not like guys just were unable to touch him. You know who I'll say? Combination of overpowering stuff and knew how to use it? Bob Gibson.
Mm.
How do you like that?
And you never watched him pitch. You're just going off
of just
what the numbers
that
and whatnot.
Knowing that the guy was willing to just throw one under your chin to make sure you were suitably uncomfortable. And I knew he was a power pitcher.
Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service. He's one of the greatest Pirates pitchers of all time. He definitely was one of the greatest broadcasters of all time for the Bucks as well. And he's a World Series champion. I'm, of course, talking about Steve Blass. Steve, you want to agree with Chris on that? Bob Gibson, most dominant guy in his prime?
Well, it's an interesting conversation. If you want to talk about strictly overpowering, because Nolan Ryan threw harder, but Bob Gibson had, you know, he also knew how to pitch. I put Tom Seaver. He was overpowering to spots, and but I actually had to hit against Nolan Ryan in his second major league start at Shea Stadium. You know, I was in the on deck circle. Jerry Groey's catching, and I'm kneeling down there, and I said, I could die tonight. And so I went up and I said, Jerry, here's the deal. No problem. 3 pitches, and I'm out of here. But look at him out there. There's stuff coming out of his nose. His eyes are crossed. He's 19 years old. He throws 200 miles an hour. He doesn't know where it is. And if he hits me and I live, I'm hitting you. He called time and went out at a conference. It was 3 pitches.
Oh, that is tremendous. I've never heard that story before. That's great.
Yeah, I imagine at 19, he really had no idea where that baseball was going.
Well, he got traded for Jim Fregosi. It's like the Mets, they didn't think he was going to turn into a 7 no-hitter guy, Steve.
Well, I'll tell you, it was I mean, I was terrified. You know, it's hard to swing the bat when you're peeing your pants at the same time. But I've never seen anything like that. And, of course, that's as close as I ever got to real speed. You know, there were guys like Jim Maloney and J.R. Richard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the thing with Skeens, and I want to talk about him, is the fact that unlike most power kids, and he's a kid, 22, they have come up from Little League all the way through every possible level, minor league stuff or whatever, college, and just blown people away and never really figured it out how to that gut feel, that pitching instinct. This young man has that. I heard him interviewed, and I loved it because the only reason I won games is because I did that. I based a lot on what he's going to throw next based on how the batter reacted to the previous pitch. And Paul Skeens talked about that and does it. And I'm dazzled by him. I'm excited. I don't go to the ballpark when he pitches. I like the TV angle where I can see what his pitches are doing. And so I've seen him adjust, from a team like, I think it was maybe the Reds or somebody that was looking for the heat right away.
Yep.
Him going away from that. And that gut feel of how to pitch. So that's rare because a lot of power guys never get the pitching part. He's got both power and the gut instinct how to work. And I'm so excited for him. And I will say that based on what I heard you guys open up with is the All-Star game. It's an exhibition game. Mm-hmm. The game to me means nothing. The game to me watching people who play the game better than anybody else. And I will give you a little personal thing. I went to one All-Star game in Atlanta in 72, but I'll never forget walking into that clubhouse. Oh, my God, there's Willie Mays. There's Henry Aaron. There's Gibson, Seaver, Marichal, Bench, Rose. It was dazzling. I've never had an experience like that. Walking into that clubhouse, and my locker was next to Johnny Bench. And that was the 70s when the Pirates and the Reds were going tooth and nail. And Johnny, back then we had respect for everybody, but it wasn't close. He said, I understand you're pitching the third inning. I'll be catching. What do you want to use for signs? Like, one finger's a fastball, two is a curve, three's a slider. I said, John, whenever I face you, you seem to know what's coming. So why don't we just wing it?
How'd it go?
Well, I got out there and I gave up a quick two or three hits. I got the bases loaded with one out and one run in. Somebody hit a rocket to first base, and I think Lee May caught it and touched their first base. My parents in this little small town in Connecticut, they swear by they're both gone now, but they swore that NBC had technical problems, and it was in the third inning, and that they never saw me. So we don't know whether you were in the All-Star game or not, son.
Oh, my God. the other thing, Steve, from my perspective on Skeens, you said he's got the IQ, the pitching instincts, and the power and the stuff. How about when you throw that hard and you command it the way that he does? He does know where 102 miles per hour is going most of the time.
Well, yeah, that's rare because, so many guys just threw it down the middle and they couldn't touch. I interviewed Mike Schmidt one time, and I said, Mike, what's the toughest pitch for you to hit? I think, I thought it was going to be some bizarre thing like a knuckleball or something. He said 95 miles right down the middle because you ain't got much time. I always related to that. What you guys probably don't know is that I threw 101 miles an hour. It just took me two pitches, two of my fastballs added together. You add them up, and I was there. But one of the other things, the overview, how many times in a major league city, the city and its fan base get excited about pitching? Usually it's the home runs, it's the rocket shots. And this, I give the fans and the city a tip of the cap because they're energized by pitching. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen, but it's happening here, and it's different, but it's real, and I just love it. I'm revved up. fan bases don't usually get revved up about pitching, but it's happening here, and it's a great thing for our town. It really is. And he's got his feet on the ground. He's 22. He interviews well. I had a chance to say hello to him in spring training. I just wanted to shake his hand and wish him well. But I went to a social function Sunday, and his cousin and her husband were in town from California. And all I did was talk 20 minutes to them. I had a wonderful conversation telling them what a big fan I am of their cousin. So it was kind of a neat connection. But I'm looking for when the dust settles a little bit, if it ever does, I'd love to sit down with him and just shoot the breeze about pitching. But right now he's busy. Everybody wants a piece of him. I do too, but I'm going to wait. But I'm going to be glued to the TV set tomorrow. I can't wait.
Steve, the thing about him that is incredible to me, he's so dominant and he's so obviously confident, but he's very introspective about what he needs to do to get better. I just read a story that essentially this splinker pitch, this splitter-sinker hybrid, he calls it a splitter, I think, or he calls it a sinker straight away, but this hybrid pitch he didn't have in his arsenal when the Pirates drafted him. And from basically chalkboard or sort of the drawing room to actually executing it has been less than a year. Can you just...
It has been the best pitch in baseball by opponent batting average.
Yeah, there's basically like a metric. What's the most effective pitch any individual pitcher's throwing? That splinker's the best pitch. Can you explain to people how wild it is that a guy could basically conceive of a brand new pitch and under a year later be using it to that great effect against major league hitters?
It's dazzling. You see, the thing is, again, the power guys, almost 100%, have the four-seamer. Now, he's throwing a two-seamer that has movement. When you don't throw hard, you throw a sinker. You turn the ball over because you want movement. You want to have them hit the top of the baseball and get ground balls. He has a four-seamer that is amazing. Now he turns it over, and he's got a fastball that has movement. He's throwing 95-mile-an-hour sinkers that have movement. It's an unbeatable combination. I mean, this young man might be what they call a generational type of arrival, and we've got him here in Pittsburgh.
Steve, what would have been your reaction if Danny Murtaugh came out to you 7 innings through a no-hitter and said, "Hey, Steve, you're looking tired. I think we're going to go to the next guy." What would have happened there?
I'd have punched him in the stomach. All right, I would have said, "All right, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be great publicity, but you ain't getting the baseball. You're not going to get the baseball." And I know I'm a dinosaur and all that, but you know, you only have such a long major league career, and you've got a chance to do that. It breaks my heart. I know all the stuff. Okay, we're going to protect him, and we're da da dee ba da ba dee and all that. And I know we're in that world. And I have some respect for it. But when it gets down to a no-hitter, I think the Rays took Snell out.
Yeah, that was the World Series, Game 7.
Yes. And it's crazy. I had one for 2 1/3 innings, and I would have fought somebody.
I mean, are you convinced the innings limits and pitch counts make a difference, Steve?
Well, my only concern, and they say they're protecting their arms, there are more pitchers on the DL than there's ever been. And you know what? I believe, and this is just my old head dinosaur talking, all the medical technology we have in the world, I love it. It does amazing things, great respect. But I still don't know if you can figure out what the tolerance of a pitcher's arm and the elbow and the shoulder. I don't know that you can do that beforehand. And they're protecting him. I get it. But I went away to play ball when I was 18 years old. I weighed 160 pounds. The next year I was throwing 200 innings in Class D ball. Of course, I wasn't a big bonus by me. I don't think they cared whether I had a good arm or not. But it's changed. The old theory used to be the more you throw, the more you build up arm strength. The more arm strength you build up, the more you resist injury. That was never scientifically done. That was old wives' tale or old pitcher's tale, but that's kind of the theory we had, and it's not in vogue now. And it is what it is, as they say. I grew up differently, it's different now. I had to throw a sinker and a four seamer because I didn't throw 95. I had to have that difference where I could get some movement, because I couldn't throw my ball by people. So I wound up with a splinker before he did. the phrasing now, the phrasing is all different. You know, they talk about exit velocity. The only time I think about exit velocity is when I'm sitting on the toilet. So that's a whole different program.
Steve, I mean, we obviously adored everything you did on TV and radio for all those years and bring in the Pirates a World Series championship in 71. But honestly, I think I tell more people after reading your book, I think I tell more people about your two hole-in-ones in one round than anything else you ever did. It's unbelievable that happened.
Well, it did, but you know, you got to keep a perspective too. It was at Greensburg Country Club, and they have 6 par threes. I only did it to 2 of them. But a quick story. I told my son on the cell after I did the first one. He laughed and hollered, and then after the second one, I called him. He hung up on me because he thought I was already drunk. But I took off my glasses. I threw them on the dirt. And you know how kids will get on a hill and just get down on the ground, just roll down the hill?
Yes.
That's what I did at 60-some years old. I damn near died. I damn near died.
And didn't you get a letter from Arnold Palmer? Am I making that up?
No, I did. I still have it. I got a handwritten note. I know Doc, what's this guy? Doc Giffen.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure Doc, you know, got it organized, but it was handwritten by Arnold. He said, I've had like 2 hole-in-ones on consecutive days or different. He worded something that he had done, but he had never had 2 on the same day. And I cherish that, of course. Back in the day, I did some commercials with him for the Heart Association. So I got to spend a little time with him, but I'm just as dazzled by his name as I was when I first got here to Pittsburgh. I got so lucky. You know, how about pitching and playing in the decade of the 70s with the Steelers and the Pirates and Pitt winning a championship, the C. Millers winning table tennis championships. I mean, the good Lord has had his arm on my shoulder for a long time, and I never forget it. So it's been wonderful.
Steve, let's do it again soon. Thank you so much for coming on with us
today.
Thanks,
Steve.
Yeah, my pleasure. Enjoy the visit, guys. Take care.
All right, Jason Mackey is down in Dallas covering the All-Star Game, the Paul Skeens extravaganza starting tomorrow night. What a quick whirlwind type thing it's been for Skeens, drafted number 1 overall and now the best pitcher in baseball, 6-0, 1.90 ERA, and about to face Stephen Kwan and the rest of the American League's top hitters tomorrow, just for an inning, by the way. They did confirm that today. They're not going to stretch him out and have him do anything else. This isn't the 1970s like we just had Steve Blass on talking about. Jason, more than this All-Star Game event, we get asked a ton of questions about Skeens' future in Pittsburgh already, which seems premature, but fans don't want to ever lose this guy. Do you think there's already been contract talks between the Pirates and Skeens?
I would be surprised if that was the case, Andrew. You know, it's so early. I can't imagine a setting where that would come up. I mean, I don't think either side would be against it, at least.
Well, look at the kid in Milwaukee. He signed before he even played one day in the big leagues. It's happening now, more and more.
Yeah, but he was in the organization for multiple years. I mean, Paul's been in the organization for... Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been in the organization for much more than a year.
Jason, when do you think, if he continues apace, that the team would start to broach these kinds of things? If say this year ends the way I think it's realistically capable of ending for him, National League Rookie of the Year, obviously he's going to be the All-Star Game starter, top 3 finish at worst for the NL Cy Young, at what point does the team, you think, start to cautiously or not so cautiously open lines of dialogue on that front?
I mean, I think they would be doing their due diligence to do it immediately. You know, now. I mean, why wouldn't you make that call?
Well, no, if you think it's not happening now, though, do you think they might just wait till the season's over? They don't want to distract him.
Sure.
They don't, whatever.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And I mean, you know, by immediately, Chris, I mean, yeah, it's kind of weird to bring that up right now, right? Like, you're in the middle of the season. But when the season ends, like, is that a proper time to bring it up? Yeah. I mean, I don't see a financial or logistical match or anything like that there. But I mean, would the Pirates be wrong or crazy to start talking or roll a ball out there and see what it looked like? Of course not. That makes a lot of sense for them.
Do you think when Skeens talks about the Pirates organization in Pittsburgh and how much he likes it and appreciates it and everything else, do you sense that to be genuine, Jason, or is that just a professional athlete knowing where his bread is buttered?
No, I do. I think it's genuine. I think it's absolutely genuine. Do I think it's the type of situation where Paul's going to sign for a massive hometown discount? No, At least not yet. I guess I should say I don't have a great read on that part of it. But I do think it's genuine. I think he appreciates what this place is about and how he's been treated. And I think from knowing Paul, one of the first discussions I ever had with him was about like the media culture and how it's kind of, I'd like to think, respectful of people's privacy and people's space. And I think he's found that to be true here. And I think a lot of athletes feel that way. Like it's not oppressive, you know, it's a pretty good media ecosystem. And I think he's appreciated that thus far. I think I know he's appreciated the city and going around and how he's been treated by people. And I know he loves PNC Park as well.
Jason, you've been around a lot of baseball players, pitchers, really a lot of young athletes, guys who are in their early 20s, who are basically in the top, you know, 1/1,000,000 of 1% at what they do in the world. Can you put into perspective Skeens' approach to what he does relative to all those other guys you've covered as far as developing new pitches, just the way he goes about pitching and how that compares with anybody else you've seen in any other sport?
I've never seen anything like this, Chris. And I would, the only caveat I would attach to it is just that I did not cover Sidney Crosby at this age. I don't know what I was doing. I guess I was still in college or trying to break into the business. But I mean, that's the only comparable I can come up with. I've never seen a young guy be so self-aware the way Paul is. And I mean, even you put a 22-year-old in a setting like we saw today. You know, he's down in the first floor of Globe Life Field and all these people crowding. Like, he's just kind of looking around. Not in a cocky way. He's just like unfazed by it.
Where was your question? So we're hearing people ask about how hard you're going to throw your fastball tomorrow. We're seeing you. We're watching the whole thing and listening to it. I was waiting for a Jason Mackey question. You got stonewalled? You got shut out?
Yeah, I got stonewalled, but I mean, I'm not the only one, and I'm not going to die on that hill because I'll get my stuff privately. But
congratulations on all your success. I didn't know that you had that access. Good for you. I guess that's part of the reason why you're down there.
I would say so, yeah.
Any update on the trade front now that they're at 500 and they're still in this wild card race? People want to know about that. What do you think?
I know. It kind of dies this time of the year. Just because everybody's mid-draft, man. Like, I think it's the third or fourth year in a row that they've done this, Andrew. And it creates a really difficult situation in the calendar. So, I mean, the short answer is no, there's not a huge update, but it's not because I don't expect something to happen or I don't think they'll pick up after this. I think the Pirates have put themselves in a very good situation. It's just right now, every front office in baseball is 100% the draft.
Why don't they have the draft after the All-Star game, Jason?
I don't know. I've wondered that myself a lot. Like, you want to couple these events. I sort of get that. But, yeah, that would make sense, not simultaneously with it. It's a very odd thing. Maybe have the draft a little bit earlier. I feel like they could spread them out just some, and then you're not that backed in to the trade deadline. But I don't know, man. It's just every year this happens, you, like, have to shut down the trade stuff, and you hear front office people complaining about it. To me, there has to be a better way, but Major League Baseball seems pretty dead set on doing it this way. I don't get it either.
Jason, which Pirates player that's currently on the roster do you sense the front office has the most optimism for the rest of this season, that this player, underperforming player, is going to get it going? Is it Hayes, Sawinski? Which guy from that sort of grouping do you think that internally they feel like is going to break out?
That's a really good question, Chris. Probably Hayes, I would say. I think the temperature from the team standpoint on Hayes is maybe a little bit different than it is from a outside perspective. And I'm not sure they're wrong. Like, I do think it's in there as far as him getting healthy. I'm going to try to duck back into my closet. I know that's really loud in the background. This place is short on available places to talk. But I would say Hayes, and probably a close second would be Sawinski. And I think both are starting to find it a little bit. But, you know, if they can get Hayes going, man, that's probably the one knob you could turn that would make the most difference for them.
All right, Jason, enjoy Dallas, and we'll talk again next week. Thank you.
All right, guys, take care. Always a pleasure.
Yep. Jason Mackey. Does he still have his Skeens mustache, or did he change that? Do we have an update on the thing?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.